are online tonight to the house of God. It is my privilege and honor always to present the Word of God in the middle of the week. I would like to pray with you and take about a few minutes to pray alone as you read Matthew chapter 8, and then I'll come and present God's Word tonight here at New Beginnings. Father God, thank you so much for really your loving kindness. You are about love. You are about experiencing your kind of love. It's called unconditional love. The acceptance of this kind of love is amazing and powerful. Tonight, God, as we spend just a little time in your word, we will leave tonight knowing that you spoke, you ministered to us, you care about us, you are always wanting to encourage us in your word and also in your presence. As we all stand tonight in God's house, I'm going to ask that you would lift your hands for a moment, and I want us to just to pray for all the prayer requests that has come across our prayer chain. Almighty God, we thank you that you are a God that answers prayer. That's why we pray, and that's why we believe, that's why we have faith. And we know that you answer prayer, and you guide and you direct us all the time. And you remind us how powerful you are and how powerful your word is. Tonight, Almighty God, we thank you for every prayer request that has come to pass, especially answering them. If you're here tonight and you have an unspoken prayer request, and if you're watching tonight and you have an unspoken prayer request, would you lift your right hand towards heaven? Father God, you see the need and you know the need. You know exactly what's going on in their minds and their heart. Those who are here tonight and those who are watching, Almighty God, I thank you, God, that we get to come to you and we get to continue to be filled by your Spirit, continue to be led by your Spirit, continue to surrender and submit to you, Almighty God. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may take your seat as we spend a little time alone in prayer. Would you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 8? And would you read that entire chapter, especially that part that speaks about the centurion who came to Jesus, that gives us a core and an application of the word. So let's spend a little time in the word and in prayer, and I'll be back in about 5 minutes to give you the Bible study in the middle of the week. Blessings. Tonight, it's always my privilege. Wednesdays is my favorite time of the week to come in the middle of the week, because I always need a recharge. I always need that extra boost for the rest of the days. I want to thank Pastor Felix and Minister Elizabeth for taking the last two Wednesdays, giving me a little break and getting my some things done that I needed to get done. But here I am tonight. Up there you can see the principle number 24. And I love this principle because it speaks about three segments, okay, to live the Christian life. Anybody can say that they're Christians, but to live the Christian life really is the key. Here's what we do know, that God is for us. God was motivated by love to save us. That simple, that straight, that clear. And that is why Matthew 8, I'm going to encourage you to go to Matthew 8 with me, and those who are watching online, make sure you follow me in Matthew 8, because this story fits tonight about principle number 24. To live the Christian life is to allow Jesus to live his life in and through us. Okay, the three segments, which one is we know that God is for us. That's that right there is given. There's no debate. There's no struggle. There's no difficulty. We know God loves us because the scripture says, for God so loved us, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. That's why I do believe that prayer leads people to Jesus. There are doctrines and teachings out there that says that God has already picked who's going to get saved and who's not. That they call that a predestined or predestination. I believe that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That people who pray for people to get saved, God will do it his way and his plan, and you got to feel good about that. So that segment is no, there's no debate over that. God loves us. When you ask Jesus to come into your life, okay, you ask him to come into your life to become your Savior and so that he can become Lord of your life. Him being Lord of our lives is where we learn to submit and surrender to God, to his word, and to simple principles. Principles are truth. They're written from Genesis to Revelation, and we're grateful for that because they never change. They never change. They were before the foundation of the world. God's word never changes. We can believe it from Genesis to Revelation because that is God's word. We can count on it. And we have testimonies that his word is true and powerful. It does change people's lives. But this one is the difficult one. Segment number three. Segment number one, he's for us. Segment number three, he's in us. Now, everybody say with me now. Now he wants to work through us. That's the Christian life. That is allowing Jesus in us so that he can work through us. As you are getting ready for Matthew chapter 8, I want to read this together with you and just want to remind you about Sunday at 10 o'clock. We will be having communion, so make sure you get yourself ready for communion next week on Sunday. And I will be preaching the word of the Lord on Sunday, so I'm already excited for that. Let's read this together, Matthew chapter 8. This story has a lot of principles, truth. They're powerful, and it speaks about a certain centurion. He was a leader, kind of like he was a general, and he had much authority and a lot of respect, and he was in need, just like we are. We are in need. I'm in need every day, and I'm grateful that I can come to Jesus for his peace, his love, his serenity, more than what is out there. So I'm grateful for that. Matthew chapter 8, let's start with verse 5. There was a certain centurion, it says, he came to Jesus, pleading. Now, that word pleading, you could probably say, well, was he begging? Or was he asking? Or was there an urgency? It don't matter which is your emotion. We can come to God that way, okay? We can always come to God. If we're sad, we can come to God. If we're joyful, we can come to God. If we're hurting, we can come to God. If we need answers, we can come to God. If we need wisdom, we can come to God. This is why We have a relationship with God because our strength or our flesh can only go to a certain area. It can't meet all of our needs. When we allow God to open the windows of heaven, then we know that God can meet our needs. Let's keep reading. Matthew chapter 8, I want to read verse 6. He said, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. I don't know, being a pastor for a long time, one of the sad things is you see a healthy person and 6 months later, they're hurting and they're dying. It's kind of it's not a really a good sight to see. But the writer, Matthew, is using some very insightful words. Lord, my servant is lying home paralyzed, number one. Two, he's really hurting. He's in torment. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. I love when God speaks to us and when he ministers to us. I'm telling you, that's probably one of the greatest highlights as a Christian, is knowing that we can hear the voice of God through the word. Okay, we can hear that. People always say, I want God to really talk to me, and I want to hear God. And I always say, read the Bible out loud. You can really hear God, because that's God's word. And so I'm excited that when we do hear God, it's a great comfort, and that's where our faith is there. And Jesus said in verse 7, I will come and heal him. Now, the centurion answered, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word. Now, say that with me. Speak a word. Say it with me. Speak a word. Now, that right there is another principle. So what comes out of our mouth has substance. It can either bring life or death, death or life. It can't bring anything else. It can bring curse or blessing, blessings or curse. It can't bring anything else. There's not a lot of options. There's only two things that can take place. But what I love about this in Matthew chapter 8, that he says, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Look at the principle for a moment. Life, I said this the other day, if God wants your attention, he'll throw a little pebble your way. If he really wants your attention, he'll throw a rock your way. And if he really wants your attention, he'll throw a brick your way. God is always wanting to get our attention. This might sound a little bit new age, but I'm telling you it's not. It's a principle from God. If you let your trials and tribulations become your teacher, you can learn something. You can really learn something. And I love that about the Word of God. But that alone speaks volume. It's got substance. It's got authority. It's got an insight. And I love it where he says in verse 8, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For then he says, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go here, go there, come here. And he comes and he goes, do this. And he does it. When Jesus heard what kind of attitude and what kind of person this person was, this right here is the key to understand to live the Christian life, is to allow Jesus to live his life in and through you or through us. First one is easy. Second one is not, it's easy. The hard part is letting God work through us. That's the difficult part. And that's why this principle, principle number 24, is going to help us, that God desires. This is what you want to get out of this study tonight, that God desires this intimate relationship. The closest relationship that you should have is be with God. You know, I spent 32 years counseling people in a professional level, and I say professional level because I dealt with the best psychiatrists, best psychologists, best doctors, best nurses for 32 years. And I learned one thing, is that you have to be comfortable with who you are, and you have to know that the highest thing you can experience is a relationship with God. And once we understand that that's what God wants from us, we can begin to experience nobody, and I think you feel the same way, nobody on this earth can tell me that God does not exist. Why? Because I've experienced God. And I get my atheist friends, and I get my agnostic friends. You know the difference between an agnostic and an atheist, right? And an atheist, there's no existence. An agnostic says, I doubt the existence, and I get them all the time. Says, well, I don't believe nothing I don't see. And I always say, have you seen your brain? No, but you believe you have one. Have you seen wind? No. Have you felt it? Yes. That is the same way with God. I've never seen God, but I've experienced God. I've never seen God, but I felt God. And there's nobody out there that can tell me that God doesn't exist and that God does not answer prayer. I am a testimony. I had this one gentleman 25 years ago, maybe, just he was so fed up with spirituality and the 12 steps of AA, and he was fed up with this and that. And, you know, we read the big book, because that's where I started my journey finding God is, and I come to the place that Jesus Christ is the ultimate of everything. And he got so mad in the group that he stood up and he said as loud as he can, I want evidence. I want proof that this works. And so everybody was kind of, you know, tolerate him just a little bit more than the norm. And all I did was stand up and say, I'm proof. Because where I come from, people don't live. They survive. And I moved from surviving to living. And this is why this principle speaks about purpose, power, and effectiveness. Can we really make a difference in our Christian life? And I believe that we can. By this, there's nothing we can do to make God love us more. And there ain't nothing we can do to make God love us less. That's a gift from God. That's called grace. Say it with me, grace. Those who are watching online, grace. Let me continue to read what Matthew 8, again, dealing with what has been said. I love what Jesus says, okay? How many here tonight in the house of God just love what Jesus says? I mean, I take all those words. When people want to debate me about theology, doctrine, and teaching, and they say, well, Paul said, yeah, Paul did say that under the inspiration. Yeah, Timothy did say that under the inspiration. But Jesus said under the inspiration. I'll take what Jesus said over anyone. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, no man can come to the Father except through me, I believe that. But watch what Jesus said to this man. Matthew chapter 8. Please follow me. I just finished reading verse 9. Let me read verse 10. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Can you imagine the God in flesh marveled? Why did he marvel? I mean, doesn't he know everything? Does he, you know all about us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet? He knows exactly how much hair we have on top of our head. He knew how much just went through out of the shower that went off the top of your head into the shower. He knows how much you've lost. Yes, it's getting thinner and thinner. But when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, watch this. This is good. I know that's not a proper presentation of the Word of God. Watch this. But I get excited because I want you to get it. Assuredly, in other words, I'm going to tell you the truth. I say to you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. That right there speaks to us. When Jesus can say, if you can keep this simple and know that God is for you and he's in you, but he also wants to work through you, but before that can happen, he has to be Savior and understand the process of him being Lord of our lives. That's the key. This is why we gather together, we do support groups, and we get together in men's group and women's group and youth group and couples groups and et cetera. We keep going and going because we need that support and we need that insight with the things of God. Watch what he says in verse 11. And I say to you, many will come from the east and the west, sit down with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Love that. But people skip verse 12. Let's not skip it. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into utter darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Now, look at me for a moment. Those who are watching, you know, when was the last time you heard a message or a teaching that hell exists? I mean, I'm telling you what, it's a dark day in the church when we stop preaching that there's only two places to go, heaven or hell. I know you're not supposed to scare people into the kingdom because God's love should draw people into the kingdom. But again, judgment, the other side of God, the judgment, it said, well, the God of love doesn't create that. He didn't create it for you. He actually only created for the fallen angels, but those who choose to follow the fallen angels, that's going to be their destination. That's another message as we go along. Let's pray just a little bit more longer. Father God, tonight, as I finish these very important points concerning this principle, I pray in Jesus' name that we continue to grow by reading the Word of God daily, praying daily, coming together to gather in the house of God. God, we give you all glory and all honor in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed. Let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Amen. Another scripture that kind of brings up to understand this principle a little bit more clearly is Galatians 2:20. We understand this did not happen physically, but it happened spiritually. It happened when you died to self, when you got baptized, maybe, or when you surrender your life, where you understood that your life is no longer yours, it belongs to God, okay? And Galatians 2:20 reads like this, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, when you and I were ever crucified with Christ, we were crucified with Christ when we began to follow Jesus Christ. He is I no longer I who live. Here we go. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's powerful. And I love that because even though we walk according to the scriptures, even though we walk in the middle of any kind of trouble, the scripture says your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He does take care of you individually, and he does take care of us corporately. We belong to an amazing group of people all over the world. Everyone that follows Jesus, the Bible calls them a nation. So everywhere all over the world, we've got people like you and I who are being a witness, being a salt, being a light, helping people in discipleship, telling them about Jesus, telling them about church, telling them about the men, the women, telling them about, you know, the support groups, whatever is going on in our lives. We are part of that process and that growth. So a lot of people will say, you know, how are you doing? And you always say something like this, I think. Maybe you don't. But in general, people say, you know, how are you doing? I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm all right. You know, I'm going through a trial. And, you know, when, you know, I get calls in Texas every day going through their difficulties. And I, you know, I always, you know, tell them, you know, hey, let it be an opportunity to make you better, not bitter. Let it be an opportunity for a stepping stone, not a tombstone. Let it be an opportunity to learn and grow. So instead of saying, oh, I'm okay, I'm fine, start saying, I'm learning and growing. Hey, let's try this. How are you doing? I'm learning and growing. Hey, let's say this. How are you doing? I'm learning and growing. That's what's going on inside. I'm just learning and growing. I've been doing this since 1980. And guess what I still say? I'm learning and growing. I've been married to the same woman for 41 years. And what do we say? We're still learning and growing. There's not a perfect nada. There's not a perfect nothing. It's by the grace of God, there we go. That's a really good place to say amen to that. So you're beyond adequate. So in other words, you're going to continue to keep learning, keep growing. Why? Because he's called you to an abundant life. What does that mean? Just full of grace and love and forgiveness. If you have those three principles, you're doing good. If one of them is missing, you may be struggling with your walk with the Lord. Because the enemy, he is a thief. He comes to take what? Your joy, your peace, your relationship with God. Thank God that you have someone that loves you. Let me say this before I close, because I think this is important. You're going to have people that will begin to look at you cross-eyed. You know, what's going on? What are you doing? The deeper you get into the things of God, you'll get critics. You'll get people that will be even jealous. They'll tempt you. They'll try to draw the line and see how sincere and how committed you are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you will get critics, and you will get people that will question, and they will try to bring doubt, and they will try to bring things into you. But stand your ground, because God's motivation for you has always been loved. If you understand God's love, you understand the greatest love that is available out there. We're grateful for that. The other loves are conditional, okay? This love is unconditional. It's where people say, you know what? You know, if you love me, I love you. If you hate me, I hate you. This love looks at everything with God's love. The scripture says it very clearly that his love covers the multitude of a bunch of transgressions and shortcomings. And so we are I love what the scripture says. It says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have, every day is a new day. If you're blessed to get up tomorrow, you just say, God, you know, I want to accomplish something today. I just don't want to exist. I want to live. So as we begin this life, we have to understand what it means in Galatians 2:20, what it means to have a crucified life with Christ. And again, you're no longer belong to you. You are a vessel of God. It's His will, not our will. And how do we develop that? We develop that by being sensitive to this principle. Because again, if I, you know, the first phase is real simple. You know, God's for us. Amen to that. God is for us. Man, it's that right there. You know, but that's where people get stuck. That's where people stay. But once they get a revelation from God, because again, if you want restoration, you got to get revelation. Revelation is powerful because you get the place where God begins to restore you. He's the only one that can make you new again. There's nobody that can do that. And so once we get that revelation that Jesus is inside of us, we become His temple. We become His mouthpiece. We become His helper. We become one of His leaders. We become a friend. We become faithful. And then He wants to learn, teach us how to, you know, live through us, because Christ is the one that lives in our lives. So you got to also remember, as I close, you got to remember, you went from one team to another team. The scripture read, Matthew chapter 8, there's the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is really upset with you because you went from there to the kingdom of heaven. You went from this lifestyle to this lifestyle. You went from this life to this life. And there's that process, and that process can take a good 2 years. Like, it can take a good two years. Grieving takes 2 years. Detachment takes 2 years to get over that. Death takes 2 years. Grieving takes 2 years. A healthy relationship takes 2 years. Everything's about 2 years. Jesus' ministry didn't kick in, you know, for, you know, as long as 3 years. But the point that I want to make is that you went from darkness to heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And because of that, your identity has changed. You used to be, oh, I remember you from over there. Yeah, that was me. That was back then. That's not who I am today. And you have to battle that, and you got to go through that journey. That's why, you know, it took a 40-day journey for the Israelites to go through Egypt, excuse me, through the wilderness out of Egypt to the promised land. And people always ask me, how come it took so long? Because the easy part is they got out of Egypt. The hard part is taking Egypt out of them. The hard part is taking the world out of us, because there will be times where there is not much out there anymore. I have more fun now than I did in the 70s. I thought I had a blast. Oh, I had my license taken away at 18. I had four, they were not called DUIs back then, but you know, I'd be in jail if they did with DUIs back then. Now, two of them is a felony, if I understand that correctly. But I have more fun now than I did back then. Yeah, I'm in bed by 9 o'clock, but I'm up at 5. But I enjoy that lifestyle. I enjoy that. I don't have to live that kind of life. And God takes those worldly desires away and gives you a new desire, gives you something new, something powerful. You know, this is why something, if we keep doing certain things all the times, that's called insanity. But if we keep doing the same thing over and over and renewing our minds daily, we get something fresh. That's the difference. And that's why I believe tonight that living this principle is every day. That's why sanctification is so crucial in your life. You're set apart for worship. You're set apart for service. And that is why we worship God every morning. People call it prayer. People call it praise. People call it whatever they want. But it's really a worship. And some people like lifting their hands. Others don't. Just reading the Word of God. God desires that you and I would experience His presence, His power, and His authority. And when we do, we begin to be filled with His Spirit. And the reason why we're filled with His Spirit, because there's a purpose. And God has the power to make sure we do that purpose with effectiveness, where it takes the world a year, but with God, it takes 1 month. That's why scientists have proven that people who worship and pray and read the Word become positive thinkers, heal 10 times quicker than those who don't. It's documented. So whatever you're going through, those who are watching online, whatever you're going through, those who are here tonight, thank you for coming out tonight. I just want you to know that these principles, they're from God. And we can use them every day. I just want to encourage you tonight. Don't forget Sunday at 10 o'clock. Don't forget the last Sunday, which is Halloween. I'm not sure what that means. We're going to have church service here. They're going to have free hot dogs for the children. They're going to have a fundraiser to raise money because they want to do a outreach in November at the Bessemer Park, so that way they can gather enough stuff to feed the homeless, the people who show up, just to let them know that we here at New Beginnings do care about people. And so, amen. Don't forget that we'll have communion this Sunday. We usually have it the last Sunday, but we'll have communion. Hey, women, you're going to be gathering together again in November. Sign up. You're going to be having a Thanksgiving potluck. This one will be at night instead of in the daytime. Look at the schedule. Look at the flyer. Look at the Facebook. All the information is there. Everyone, would you please stand with me tonight? I'm going to ask that you would lift your hands. Father God, I thank you tonight for those who are here. Would you bring great blessings and protection and guidance over their lives. Thank you for those who are watching, Lord God. Keep them safe, keep them protected. We continue to pray for those that we love and we care about. We pray for those who are on the prayer chain. I pray that in the name of Jesus, they will continue to get well, continue to get support, continue to get direction. And God, we just give you all the glory and all the honor. And we thank you for leading us and guiding us. Bring us back safely on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you have an offering tonight, somebody will be at the door receiving it. If not, I will see you soon. And be blessed. Hey, make sure you get the bookmarker that I as a gift. If you need extra, please get them. You'll be more than glad to be blessed with that bookmarker. See you Sunday. Bless you.